Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Help and Hope. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm joined by
Todd Stride
and Tim Lane.
Tim Lane. Thanks for coming in, guys. Now, you got a busy schedule. This week, we're going to talk about feeling condemned. And a question we received goes like this. If I struggle with a sense of condemnation, is my faith inadequate?
Is my faith inadequate? Mm. Yeah, if you struggle with a sense of condemnation, I wouldn't start with is your faith inadequate. I mean, that's what they're struggling with, of course. You know, I want to initially know, you know, what kinds of things make you constantly feel condemned. Are they things that you've done in your past? Are they things that a list that you've made that isn't consistent with Scripture? Is it a conscience that's overly sensitive? You know, you're wanting to kind of parse what's the dynamic? Why is this person feeling condemned?
Hmm. Yeah, I think Tim's right. At some point, I think maybe 100% of Christians feel this very same thought. Now, for the person who asks this question, it may be as limited and as specific as, is my faith inadequate? I feel condemned. But if, in general, if you hear this, I think the goal is to say, that just may be the invitation, like we've talked about numerous times before, that may just be the invitation to sit with this person in a story. And as Tim said, get to know the person. There's probably a long, deep history that the question of faith and inadequacy and condemnation cannot even be faithfully addressed until you know the person, you know the story, you know their life, and you know what they're feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's an initial question. That probably, it may not be where they even need to or want to go. It just may be the first thing that comes out of their mouth. And I think it's an invitation to go deep and to do relationship and gather a lot of data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say that this, in one sense, wouldn't be any different than someone coming in and saying, you know, I really struggle with anger or sexual lust. I mean, this is, for this person, the area where you're going to want to see them grow in grace. So you place this question within a biblical theological framework of progressive sanctification. You know, this is what this issue is for this person. It may be anger for another person. It may be something else with another person. This is what this is for this person. So I'm not going to be shocked when someone says, I profess to be a Christian, but I struggle with feeling condemned. Because I'm meeting with people all the time who are saying, I'm a professing Christian and I struggle with sexual temptation, or I struggle with anger, or I struggle with greed, or I struggle with gossip or fear. You rattle off the list. We're just dealing with yet one more area of struggle, and this is your counseling, discipling agenda that you want to have with the person. How can I help this person grow in grace in this area?
And as a friend, as a counselor, as a family member, you should assume that this person probably does not know even what their theological system is. Mm-hmm. And it needs to actually be teased out through the questions you ask and the time you spend with them. Because often when a person has to contemplate theologically what they believe about God and sin and the cross, sometimes they come up with a system that they didn't even know they had. Mm-hmm. And it's a system based on the law. It's based on the quality of their faith, mm-hmm, instead of the quality of Christ's faith. So part of the work of this process can actually be done by having them articulate what they believe and then having them stare at what they say they believe and to check whether they want to actually accept that, and if they want to claim that is the way they want to go forward.
Mm. Right. Yeah, you'd be interesting to talk with someone and say, what to you is a truly spiritual person, a mature Christian. Draw me a picture of what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to be the exact opposite of what they think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then begin to, maybe you need to begin to deconstruct that, because it's not rooted in the gospel of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just going to take time and patience,
mm-hmm.
to help that person reconstruct a picture of what it means to be a mature Christian in light of the grace of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're factoring in this situation is, you know what? A mature Christian is someone who does fail.
Mm.
You know, and we've got plenty of examples all throughout Scripture of moral failures. You know, and it's really the best place to go. And I would imagine if you began to look at all the biblical characters with them, and they would tend to say, oh, these were always held up as great examples to follow. Well, let's get underneath the story of these people and see exactly who they really were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just rattle off the list. They were all moral failures that God mm-hmm. redeemed and used.
Mm-hmm.
So that's certainly going to be something that you're addressing. And who knows where that came from, this view of what it really means to be a mature Christian. It may have been in the social, cultural, church context in which they were raised,
mm-hmm.
or the home in which they were raised. So that's the story piece that Todd is referring to, I think, that you're trying to get to know.
Mm. It makes me think of It Is Well With My Soul. You know, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, mm. and I bear it no more. That's that verse, that stanza of that song, so envelops me, because personally, I've gone through this issue myself, and I've found it very easy to condemn myself, to say, well, the Lord doesn't really forgive everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he forgave these things, mm-hmm. But maybe not everything.
Yeah.
And as you say, provide a biblical, theological framework for progressive sanctification, which is a mouthful. But you're saying, where does the blood of Christ speak? How does it set us free? Because we are free, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And while we don't want to make that trite, we want to know the story.
Mm-hmm.
But the our sin is fully forgiven on the cross, right? And what a joy that is. And so we want to know that personally, right? We want to speak that into lives. And my question with that, how do we do that without being trite?
Well, that's the challenge. I think, you know, Todd just continues to emphasize patience, knowing the person. And, you know, I wonder how much of this bleeds over into the whole issue of shame. You know, and some people feel dirty and unclean, maybe because of things they've done, or it may be because of things that have been done to them. And so that whole process of them growing in grace and understanding what it means to be clean, and how when Jesus touches us, you know, we become clean. I think a lot of that with someone who's really struggling at this level gets unpacked in the way that you relate to them as they tell their story. You're not shocked by anything. They can tell you just about anything, and they can tell you anything, and you're not going to, you know, kind of wince or think, I can't believe you did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you hear their story, things that have happened to them, you know, this is deeply sorrowful what has happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that incarnational ministry that comes through in your own relationship with the person is important.
Yeah, we have the opportunity to, in incarnating, as you said, Tim, to treat these people like they are clean, as opposed to what they think people are treating them like, which mm-hmm. is dirty. They see themselves as dirty before God. But if we incarnate the gospel truth of them being cleansed with the blood, then in relationship we can treat them as they are a delight and they are clean. And that is that's a picture into the way God himself treats them.
Mm-hmm.
Well said. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.